Welcome to Talentless, the podcast that's all HR, all talent, and zero fluff. Hosted by industry talent leaders, Desiree Goldie and Ashley King, and made for recruiters who think of talent outside of the box. They're here to dig into the heart of what makes workplaces tick and sometimes blow up.
Welcome to another episode of Talentless. Where we get into the real talk of recruiter talk, educating you with my co-host, Ashley King. And today we are going to talk about HR conferences. Ooh, it's very tricky, right? We went to HR Tech and then we went to RecFest, which we had an amazing time. Thank you, Jamie Leonard. But we...
I mean, medium thank you, Jamie Leonard. I still have yet to recover.
But yeah, so, but we do want to talk about the outcomes of these things and like, and what you should learn from them and how you do it responsibly. I think, you know, HR conferences are something to be able to take on that amount of vendors, that amount of speakers, that amount of everything. You really have to get in the room and have a plan and figure out what your goal is. Am I incorrect?
No, so that's what I was going to say is like, first, we need to the audience in town. What is the purpose of a conference?
Right.
Like, what was the problem that it was created to solve? Why do we have conferences? And in my mind, like, three things, I think, come to mind. And that's going to be community, obviously.
Yes, absolutely.
The people that you meet, the people in your wheelhouse that can help you and build community. There's that. I think that it's inspiration. So the speakers, the people, like, are they actually teaching you? Are you getting educated? So there's that educational lens. And then the other one is the innovation. So maybe that's actually inspire. Maybe it's, you know,
yeah, it's the inspire. It's the inspire. Thank you, RecFest, for that.
Well,
stage.
But also the innovation that comes from once you have community, once you have all these things, now we can create an innovative space.
Right. Right.
And that's where.
And for me, that innovation is like, what did you take from that conference? And are you doing anything with it? Right?
Yeah.
Like, what did you come home and sit at your desk and be like, I just traveled for 4 days. What did I get out of it? And how can I put that into practice? I don't think we're doing that. We're not doing the follow-up action as much as we should, right? I think me and you did, but like, is everyone doing that? So let's start back at your first one, which is community. Let's start there.
Yeah.
The people you meet. And I think that is essential for me. I believe it or not, people call me a recluse in my house, but I'm actually a community person. I want to see you in real life.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. IRL Desiree scares me. Why?
Oh my
because
God.
Anytime we have to go do anything, she is like out with the people. She is like shaking hands, kissing babies. And I am just like, stop. No, leave them over there. Leave them over there. Leave them over there. And then you bring them here and I'm like, hey! And I have to. Literally, that's, I think, how we got the peanut butter shots. I was like,
yes!
Staring at the ground.
Oh my God, the peanut butter
shout
shots.
Back
people.
Out to Jamie
don't,
Leonard. Now y'all can connect the dots.
Please don't
but,
do it.
Yeah, don't, you're not going to want to connect those dots. But the point is that I think community is what brings you back to the same one.
Yes.
So,
right.
Like, it's not going to be because of the speakers. It's not going to be because of your vendors. It is the community. And
absolutely.
That's what I think we've established through RecFest. It's just, instead of all the other conferences that are like, let's have Matthew McConaughey and Joe Biden, little
and
Joey
cool
B.
Kidman.
Yeah, come tell us about HR. And it's like, we're such a joke. Do you think that doctor conferences invite like Meredith Grey? No, because they're not a joke. And so I hate what we allow because it's just like, what silly billies.
I want to be in the space of all these people that I've been talking to on LinkedIn, who I've been doing this over some online weirdness. And now we get to see each other in person and say, oh my God, you're like a real live human. Right.
Yeah. Seeing the icons come to life, like that is like the longest Tinder date you'll ever be on, dude.
It's so amazing.
Seeing Kat Kibben in person, I was like, you are so tall. Like always, it's a height game for me, man.
Yeah.
I just want to know how tall the people are.
It was a revelation for me at RecFest, and we are planning to do more conferences in 2026. So please look old for Talentless, but I will say that like one of the things that was super important to me was to like find those people, right? You know, Tejal, you know, Joel, Mike, you know, all of those people that were really important to me was really important to find them. Danny, like, it was really important for me to, like, say, hey, we're together. And that was super important for me.
That's how I felt about Tamika, Tara.
Yo, Tamika, Tara, Rocky.
Yes.
Like, oh my, like, God, we just saw so many amazing
people. I'm such a
people.
Fan girl.
Yeah. I know.
What's and so that's not, like, all the...
My God. Fangirling over here. So let's move
lift
to education.
Lift
though.
Up, lift up.
Because right, I think this is where we get into the real deal, right? You know, let's talk about education and what these conferences do or don't do. What do they do?
Well, and because I think that it's the answer to this is embedded in the community. So, like, if I'm surrounded by numbnuts, then obviously the education I take from this isn't going to be great if whenever I leave the talk, and get inspired and go sit out at a table with a whole bunch of nincompoops that either don't understand or can't apply or don't see the relevance. There's, like, that piece, but then there's also, like, that front piece. So, like, that scenario can only happen if I'm inspired by the talk, if the speaker is a decent speaker, if it's someone who's actually educating me. And it's wild because I think about the Matthew McConaughey's, I think about the this and the that's, and I'm like, what do you know of people working minimum wage and attriting every single day with recruiters who have to have KPIs over 200% because of how many replacement roles they have to do. Like, what could you possibly know? And maybe that's some of me being, like, selfish. Maybe that's some of me just wanting to have more reverence for our space and see, like, demand respect that I think it deserves. But I do feel like the education piece is lacking. And I think that's because of reason number two. A lot of the people that they see as innovative are people who are tool people or tech people or AI. Right. And so they're using all these company people, like people who still, again, have nothing to do with recruitment. They just work around a recruitment product. And because they're a vendor, need to make money and they profit off of your practice dysfunction, they get the talking point and everyone thinks, ooh, I want to see practitioners. I want to hear people solving people problems.
Yeah.
Actually handling recruiting, hiring managers, actually handling like all this stuff.
One of the great people on our stage was Erin Matthew. So shout out Erin.
She did great.
She did talent intelligence, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're a data nerd, right?
So I know.
So, but like those, living in those moments, so you're actually teaching somebody how to do something that they probably didn't do before is so essential. But I want to go back to the one point that you said that was, I think for me, stands out is the reverence of talent. Like if you don't hold it, if you don't think we're important, we put a bunch of BS in front of you. Right. And we continue to do that. We continue to say, let's put the Matthew McConaughey's, poor Matthew's going to be on the show and be like, please stop talking about me.
Just tell Priya, I say, hey.
I know. But the thing about that is, like, if you really hold this function dear and you're building a conference, you should build it around education of what is missing, not on the fluff. Right. Yes, you can have a big lead name doing that, like, psychology of the universe. But I need the rest of that to look like you are doing something for me to go back to my desk and make sure that I know how to do my job better.
Well, and not only that, but what is the possible story that they could tell that would impact my inspiration, man. Okay. But that's what I'm saying. These are all like fluff pieces.
I know.
None of this is targeted for what I came and had to pay for that name to be
and
on that stage.
And these conferences are so expensive, right?
Oh,
now.
They're hella expensive. If we don't get paid to go, we don't go.
I know.
It's pricey. And so, but again, it's one of those things where I'm like, we've gotten so off the ball of what the purpose was that communities, like the void that conferences fill.
Yeah.
And it's just been replaced with how can we profit? How can we get you to spend money? How can we market? How can we? And again, it's all of this priming detail, none of this actual like education, let's make a flipping difference detail. Right. And to me, that's why I love, and again, not a free ad, but maybe that's why I love Wreckfest, is because Wreckfest is not investing on trying to get these biggie names so that way they can up the ticket price so they can make a profit. They might, I don't know, but they haven't to date. And so to me, being able to actually talk to the person that walked off a stage, that's an author, to talk to the Cat Tibbins, the Aaron Matthews, the people in seat that are actually doing it, again, it just makes so much of a difference. And at the end of the day, I think it really shows that you're for people, not for profit. Because making profit in the conference space is easy. It's really not so that hard. Easy. There's a method. There's a whole entire algorithm to all of it. It's simple. Right. What's hard is actually making people who live and dwell in this space have a decent time, have takeaways, make applicability, and want to come back. That's the hard feat.
Mm-hmm. You're a gambler, but I want you to stop having these conferences in Vegas. Can we go somewhere else? Oh,
I disagree. I disagree. As a mother of two whose partner will not gamble, if it was to, like, every time I put down a penny, he's like, oh, that was 3 hours of work. Like, I don't need you doing ratio math business, like, while I'm out here counting cards.
I knew you were going to argue with me.
I love me some vaguey because it has something for everybody. Like, and if it don't, you can just sit in that hotel and just linger, you know, cranberry style.
Nashville was awesome. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that is a very clean NOLA if you've never been. Yeah, is like it's the comparison, I would say. It's a clean NOLA.
It's very nice. You know, so as we get into the education, and sorry, I digress, but I think about some of the really strong speakers we saw and who we're going to see it transform. And I just want people to really think as they're building these conferences, not to regurgitate the same people. Right? Mm. Get some new, fresh voices out there. There's a ton of people in this space. Right? Yeah. So get some fresh speakers out there. And not everybody wants to speak. Not everybody wants to be on stage. But I think approaching some of these people who have, and I, you know, I hate to use this as a key metric, but, you know, have some decent following.
Yeah. No, I agree. And here's my thing is like, we've got to get the people already in the mix, right? Yeah. Like, it's not something where you can just find a good speaker and be like, okay, talk about this.
Yeah.
It needs to be the other way around, which I feel is what they're doing with the McConaughey's of the world. We need to be people who are already in it that can speak well. And that's where we need the transition.
Correct.
But the people who are in it are not often the people that have a bajillion gazillion following because
they're doing the work.
Exactly. And so, I mean, you do have the Bonnies and the Tajils of this world that are like out there with their doing the content and stuff like that. That's where your girl fails. But the one thing that I think about the whole conference portion of everything is just, I think we also need to start, if the purpose was always community, education, and inspiration and innovation, like that little pot. To me, I think we need to see different mediums. I think everything is a talk at you 30-minute slideshow. I think we need to have interactive sessions. I think they need to be things where we're actually communicating in a room and having contact theory and learning from one another. And I think whenever I think of a Wreckfest, I feel like that's the next step. I feel like the next step is creating rooms that actually inhabit this, facilitate it, versus just an educated, well-known practitioner speaking at you.
Yeah.
Something to where they actually, I would love to see them change a stage into like a workshop room that's just consistently facilitated.
Like doing a workshop room. How about takeaways? How about a handout?
And some of the people do it, but I think if you organized it around that, because then that to me says we're intentional about learning.
Right.
We're intentional about wanting this to be a space. Right. Enter Jamie Litter. Sorry.
I know. When you do the work with Talented, and as we talk about that, like that's some of the the things that we could take away. How do you do a right intake call? How do you do, because I think that recruiters don't understand the fundamentals of how to do this work, right? Yeah. Like, they don't understand the basics. And yeah. So maybe there's a stage that's like recruiter education stage, and you're workshopping all day, or you're doing some of that. I think that would be super impressive. I think for me, I would go to that conference in a heartbeat. And obviously we participate in that conference, but I would be on that stage telling people not how to do your job better, but definitely give you the insight of how you can move forward and level up your game, if that makes sense. I want to get a little bit, before we jump into Inspire and like that innovation period, I want to talk a little bit about what the feeling should be when you go into these conferences and how that spiel that they give you on may not change you. It may not affect you. And what happens if it actually does? And that's the Inspire piece.
Yeah. So I think whenever we think of the talks or the spiels, I think we first need to separate who is here for what and what's their motive. So like 90% of speakers at your average conference is going to be some part of tech or tool that also had a booth that now gets talk time because they paid so much XYZ amount.
Right.
So the first thing you need to know is this person is not an actual talent practitioner, but someone around tools, product, whatever. Their whole kit and caboodle, and I say this all the time, I'm going to say it again, is to profit off of your practice dysfunction. The only time you need XYZ tool is whenever XYZ doesn't work in your practice. That's why the tools you need are different for every business, are different for every whatever it may be you go into. And so with that in mind, you need to kind of have discretion almost with the talks you're hearing. Not to say that you should be like, I'm not going to learn, la, 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 but to say like, I need to get in the perspective of this person so that way I'm not just absorbing all this and thinking, oh my God, this is the only solution that can do it. No, this is the solution that they're serving you because it serves them. Absolutely. And so sometimes I think we need to get out of the headspace of thinking everyone on stage is a hero and knows everything. And that's not to say that a lot of people think that, but it is to say that I've seen so many people who are an Aaron Matthews, who are a Kat Kibben, that is a practitioner, that is a Danny Herrera, that knows their stuff, and people just walk out of the room. And then there are people who are like the software engineer of an HR tech tool, and everybody's swarming them.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know they have status. I know they make profit. I know they have a booth and they have a name and it's recognized and all these other things that an individual practitioner may not. But at the end of the day, you're asking the right questions to the wrong person.
Right.
And I think that we revere the wrong people because they hold the money clip and they hold the innovation sphere because they get to say what goes and what
doesn't.
It's
so funny. I was talking to somebody and they were like, I don't know why I'm listening to a speaker from XYZ company that has 10,000 employees when I have 5.
Yeah. Like, totally where's the relevance?
There's no relevance at all. You don't have any systems. You don't have anything to do. Like, you're a lone talent person sitting and they have 30 or 40 recruiters. Like, it's not the same situation, right? And so that's when it gets really tricky, right? And so this is when I go to these conferences, I'm like, I don't really want to see somebody that's not in my lane, right? Because it's just not relevant to me.
Well, and I don't mind seeing people outside of the lane, but they better have a hyper relevance to what their perspective is bringing.
Correct.
If we're not, because like I do like it whenever there are like, and I'm an IO psych person, but IO psych isn't necessarily specific to only HR, but I like it whenever they have an IO SME. I like it whenever they have a data SME. Like,
me too.
Those type of things. But again, their purpose is hyper fixated on HR and TA and the audience versus some of these others. The motive isn't the audience. The motive is to get the audience to purchase something.
Yeah.
And that's a very different
motive. It's a very different thing. Very different motive. It's not education. It is for profit. Please remember that. We said it here. All right. So we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk a little bit about women and conferences a little bit, because I really want to, for us as a woman-owned podcast, we always want to dig into the issues around safety and concern and conferences are still a dangerous place for women. These places are crazy. I don't think about it now at 51, but when I was in my 30s, these places were dangerous.
Sad news. It, like, still is. So, and also, spoilers, this is our talent outside of the box talking point as well. So we'll do that here now, just a little out of order team, but that's cool. We're going to roll with the people. But yeah, no, I think that whenever people use like a event or a organization or whatever it may be to kind of shill their behaviors because people have let their guards down. And so it's kind of like that with a conference. People think we're here for work. So a lot of people will set down their drink. A lot of people will go say, oh, my room's XYZ number. You can come and say, hey, because, you know, it shouldn't be that crucial. We're at a work event. It's for conference. It's for community, learning, engagement, and innovation. Like, hello, we just named what it's here for. And none of them are what typically happens next. And so I will say, trigger warning to audience, if you are wanting to skip this, you can. But the giving of Ruthalin and drugs is still very, very prevalent at many, many conferences. I myself attended a conference, I can't remember if it was 2017 or 2019. It was a specific company that, again, profits off of dysfunction. I won't see their name on here, but they are probably the biggest competitor to LinkedIn that we have now that other companies have been acquired and gobbled up. So, large organization hosted an event in Austin. The third-party vendor that they used to do all the photography and host, like, you know, like the picture rooms where you can get your own pictures done, had put drugs in one of my recruiter's drinks.
Oh my God. Ashley. Yes.
And so the hard part here is usually in a professional setting, it's not, especially with your own employees, it's not usually, or not even your own employees, but whatever. It's not typical that you like party with them or like see them in this light.
Right.
So at first it was more of just like, I think she just likes to party. Like, I'm not going to judge. I'm not, you know, whatever. But then whenever it came like 20, 30 minutes later after this interaction at the cameras, and I started to realize what was happening. And I remember looking at her in the face and I was like, are you like, have you had any drugs? And it was like her feet just like fell out from under her as I was holding it. And she was a teeny tiny little pocket rocket, thank goodness. But we had to carry her all the way back to the hotel.
This is a horrible story. And I'm sorry if it triggered anybody on listening to us. But listen, I want to tell people today that women's safety is just, it's still a problem. And it has been for my lifetime, my mom's lifetime, everybody's lifetime, Ashley's lifetime. It is a serious, serious thing in this United States and the world. And unless we focus on it, and these conferences should do the same, is really thinking about that safety for those individuals. I can't say enough about how this hits me in my heart that someone would go through that. And this story is horrible. I almost want to like end the call. Like, it's really that bad. I feel for people who have these things because trauma lasts forever, right? And it takes so much to get over that. And so I don't want to get into too much of that, but I do think that we need to be thinking about the safety and concerns for women at these conferences because it's a thing, especially in a city you've never been in. Right. Or
especially a city you've never been in. And I will say, I don't know that it was only women, if I'm being candid.
Okay.
I've seen men recruiters be repeated as well.
I'm sorry.
And so no need to apologize. Yeah. It's more of just a kind of more of a call out of a PSA of like, hey, sometimes people just have malintent. And again, this was the third party that was doing the picture room. It wasn't actually someone tied to ACL or the company that was hosting or anything like that. So, and again, their reaction to it was, well, that was a third party. We can't control that, which then is how I started becoming very, very selective with the conferences that I would go to, that I would endorse, that I would speak at, that I would host for sure. Yeah. And it's based around that because after that was whenever I started noticing who has put preventative measures in place, who has given talking points to like, hey, just because someone's dressed cute on their night out and maybe not like how you'd see them in the office, that is not consent. Oh, it's not like y'all's night on the town, loose goose. Maybe that's how they dress out of work and you just never knew. Like, again, it's something to kind of give perspective to the idea of like, everybody has different perceptions of what is happening. Just because we're at a good conference, having fun, being cool, going to dinner, sadly, doesn't mean that you can necessarily put down your guard, because other people will take up that opportunity to,
you know, it's funny that we are talking about this, because Danny put out a great post. Danny Herrera, for everybody that's listening, put out a great post about Comic-Con and how they make their things so accessible. I think we're not doing enough of that either.
Yeah, right? And we're supposed to be the police that do it. I know, and we're not even holding our own line. No. Yeah.
Right. Like, disability, check. LGBTQ plus, I'm part of that community, by the way. I just can't say it. You know what I mean? Disabilities, all the things. Like, there were so many things wrapped up in that post about what they're doing successfully. Mm-hmm. I have not seen that in TA conferences so far. Right. You doing anything to really promote that? Because there's all these disabilities out here, folks. Here's the community that you're trying to serve. Serve it.
Yeah, agreed. Serve it. Because honestly, anytime you have a conference that isn't going to be available virtually, it's automatically right off the bat going to have a hard time for inclusion. Because now that means those who can't travel or have autoimmune disease or like such a list of things can no longer participate. Yeah. And so it's just giving FOMO, which, you know, for some people, they have to cut their losses. They have to say, okay, well, we have to do this, we have to do that. Not that it's okay, not that that's the thing, but that's what I think we hear the most.
But if we are going to have an in-person event, let's make it at least somewhat accessible to most that truly show up.
Yeah, right? For sure.
Let's do that, right? Let's try to make it inclusive. And I'm going to use Katie and Jackie's term here, but let's make it inclusive AF, right?
Yeah.
Because that's important. That's super, super important. So now I want to get to the inspire part as we start to round out this episode. But the inspire and innovate and do something once you've learned something. What are your thoughts on how you take away something that you really needed from that event and implement it now? Now, what do you do with that information that you took a bunch of notes, you come back and you're like, oh, I have this notebook. What do I do with it?
Yeah, so I think there's a few things. One, you have to think of the headspace that you're in as you're absorbing and learning, right? Like, that's always going to prime what we take in. Because if you just had a conversation that gives you a little bit of recency bias, you're going to pay attention to one end of this talk that you may not even catch the other end. And so that's another reason why I think virtual has its niceties, because it can be recorded, it can be rewatched, you can digest it multiple times. And so that kind of allows for that learning and applicability and even sharing with your team. So I will say that I am of the kinesthetic teaching belief that you see one, you learn one, see one, do one type of mentality, or do one, teach one, however you want it to be. But basically there are three stages to all of it, which is like you get the awareness, you learn of it, you get to actually participate, you are kinesthetically learning within it, and then teaching someone, which is ensuring that the applicability, that you have the range to be able to take it and apply it to different situations and teach others. So to me, I think whenever you follow that framework, like whatever you take, you can really make it land and expand for your team, for your issues. But I think the overall thing is you can take as much as you want. Just remember, again, not everyone's motivation is to actually help you solve the problem that you came there with. It might be solve adjacent. It might say it solves some symptoms. But we've really, really got to get better at being able to take different ideas and different constructs and different foundations and meshing it.
I love that you brought up symptom versus solution, because to me, that is what I think we take away from most of these things. It's like, oh, it solves the symptom, right?
So that's all of it.
Yeah. And then we walk away and we're like, but I don't really have a solution. Right. Yeah. You know? And so taking that symptom and then building out what that solution is key. And I think that people forget that all the time. We're like, oh, you know, the lady from, I don't know, I'm not going to use a name, but some big company really gave me the symptom, you know, the answer to my data problem, right? Mm-hmm. But you don't have the right things to even implement that thing. So what is your solution from what that person talked to you about, right? How do you figure that for your organization? Yeah. And that's a key point that I think people miss. They're like, oh my God, I'm failing at life. Because they're doing it so well. It's not that they're doing it ultimately well. What they've done is taking a problem and figuring out a really good solution for their organization, right?
Exactly. And yeah. Those are people who are able to take bits and pieces and MacGyver. Yeah. Because yeah. That's really all it is having the agility to be like, okay, I built this box last time. I can take the same materials to build a circle yeah. this time. Like, how right. do you go from one to the next? And once you've identified that foundation of like, so I go through the process of I'm hearing something, I'm wondering if that could be a solution. I'm researching that something. What yeah. they just said to me is not the only Bible. Like, I've got to go out, seek it for myself, like kind of autonomously learn and teach myself what is that I want to bring to the table with that, and then kind of going from there, to be quite frank, because to me, that's how, I mean, there are people on stage who are not actually accurate about what they're talking about.
Absolutely.
Sorry. Like, it's I've like heard, yeah, like,
right?
Yeah. So like, that's the other thing. Well, they sound good. Like, they're talking a lot, but they ain't saying much. And right. so there are some times that you just, I would highly suggest maybe always integrate this into your conference practice. Look that shit up once it's done. Like, Google it. Be like, is this actually going to help or is this going to hurt? Because again, I've heard all the different things. Yeah. Anytime someone uses, what is it, operational conditioning?
Yeah.
And then yes. use like positive or negative reinforcement in the wrong way, your girl like has a tizzy. I'm like, please stop.
So we did a really good job of planning for RecFest. I think we were really on top of it. And I'm a planner and get a little crazy. But like, I do think that there is a place, if you're going to a conference, even as an individual, there should be a plan and a focus. Who are you going to see? Why are you trying to learn that thing? What are you hoping to take away from that? Right. Mm-hmm. And then once you get all that information, collecting that data and saying like, okay, what made sense to me? What didn't make sense to me? How can I figure this out? For my organization, it's going to be essential. And that takes some planning, kids. Like, just don't show up and hug your friends. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, have a plan when you go into these things. Ashley, we are almost at time. Is there anything else you think we should talk about on this note?
If I have to think of anything else about conferences, I would just say, go, be safe. Know what you want to go for. And honestly, like, okay, I kind of agree with that, but I'm also the opposite of Des. So like, I don't plan. I hate planning. I actually think it's trash. I'd rather just show up and then just like let whatever happen, which is why I enjoy going with Des, is because she has everything planned. So I just get to show up and be like, this is great. This is number one thing. I love this so much. So hey, even if you don't show up with a plan, just like go up, go where your heart desires. Yeah. But I think my big message isn't necessarily to the conference goers. My big message, aside from the PSA, but my big message is to the conference creators, like,
yeah.
get real people who know real stuff and care about the real job.
Yes.
And then on top of that, start taking care of your real customers by saying, hey, we're aware that this is a cultural problem in the US overall, regardless yeah. of what kind of conference it's for. And so because we know that data, we're going to take extra precautions. Here's yeah. the little nail strip that you can put in your drink and make yeah. sure that there's no roofie in it. Like, here's your go bag. And it like, it's easy to do those type of things. Yeah. It's just a matter of, do you care to? And again, to your point and to Danny's point, it's really not something that we see in the HR culture as we should. We see it in other venues and in other groups where, you know, they've had exploitative instances to where yeah. it evokes that. But why are we waiting for that?
Yeah.
Why are we waiting for that?
Why are we being reactive? Be proactive, yeah. folks. And so this is my message again to conference creators as well. It's like, let's be proactive. RecFest, I think, has broken the mold a little bit. So let somebody else take it to the next level. Let's do something really awesome. Anna Morgan's doing some great things out there.
Yeah.
There are some really great moments happening that we don't have to be subjected to the traditional vendor-goer relationship. We can build this to be a better conference experience for all. And let's do it. Why not yeah. do that thing? And if you're going to invest the time and the energy and your team's time to build these conferences, because they take a lot of freaking work, right?
Oh, yeah.
Build it responsibly, build it with that PSA that we talked about. Build it with all the things that you need to say, and build it with people in the real world of talent and HR. Build it with people doing this work day to day, every day, and can speak to the things that people actually care about.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Please.
So important.
No, you're good. All I would say on the last note is just like, hey, don't make us come out of this podcasting box to come get this shit right. Someone just do it right. All right.
Talent Outside the Box, folks, is where we talk about the cognitive side of what we've been talking about. Today was about HR conferences, and I will leave it up to Ashley King.
You know, mine's going to be a weird one today, which that's every day. So what else is new for this crowd? I would actually say, I think the thing that we should focus on today for the social psychology side, whenever it comes to conferences, is probably actually effort justification, and specifically the ideas of like, what does it take to actually get a person to want to commit money to go listen to people that they've never met and go fly somewhere else and actually use that as an investment? That is an actual like psychological algorithmic type of process effort justification is. Like, we have to have enough logic and reason for it to justify the effort we're putting forth. So whenever we're talking about these conference creators, whenever we're talking about people who are building the table and just need people to show up, what you're asking them to do is measure and justify how much effort they're willing to put in. So if you don't have a good brand, if you aren't safe, if you're always doing Matthew McConaughey, which like he's cute. So first time, yes. Second time, but all these other things, Ryan Reynolds, we can do twice, but all the other things is just like, if you're not meeting the mark, it's because the effort doesn't justify like the means that you're providing. So to my conference goers,
by the way.
Who's Katy Perry?
Oh, that's my pass is Katy Perry.
I thought you said it was Kelly Rowland or something.
No, that's my wife's.
Who was the one that you said that was your pick in our first episode? Don't make me go back.
Oh my God. I can't imagine what I said, but Katy Perry.
No, it wasn't Katy Perry. But she's with Trudeau right now, so they're busy on a yacht with jeans.
Whatever.
This podcast is getting away from us, so we're going to end on the fact that, you know, hey, get conferences right so Talentless doesn't have to come out here and do it, because good God, and I'm saying this in my serious voice because I mean it, like, we need safe, good spaces with great practitioners to talk about real-ish and really get stuff done, because our space needs it, and we can't just have any more commercializing of it because it's all synthetic and we're not getting anything done. Okay, love you. Bye.
Thank you and so much. Thank you for joining us on another episode of the Talentless Podcast. Mm-hmm. Please follow us on our website, talentlesspodcast.com. Wherever you find a podcast, that's where we're at. Follow us on IG, Blue Sky, LinkedIn. We're everywhere. And we have a Patreon, mm-hmm. and we will soon have a merch store. You want to rock?
Oh, we do have it. It's already up. Yeah, shout out to Rita. She's making the cut.
Shout out to our assistant, Rita.
Woo, woo, Rita.
We do have a merch store if you want to buy Talentless merch now. So we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.